you recognize next to the telephone, morphine, that is in the back. What can you go talk for? This place was donated some years ago to this fund. It's the place where Rocky Denote Popcorn came, that you see wearing his dress in the renounced order. He came here and established his Bhakti Kuti, and was placed in the specific task of seclusion. And engaged in uninterrupted devotional service.
He chose this place, very different sound. He chose this place to be just opposite the samadhi of Haridas Thakur, and just 1 kilometer away is very sacred Siddha Bakul, the Bhajan Kutir of Haridas Thakur. And in between, we visited first Radha Giridhari, the deity of Jagadananda Pandit, yes. And then Chota Haridasa's deity. What was the last place we visited? Brahmananda Bharati, yeah. Radha Shamasundar. We know a great deal about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life for several reasons. One, it was rather recent compared to the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. But also Bhaktivinoda Thakur basically wrote his own autobiography. He wrote one letter that was actually a book describing the sequence of the events of his life to one of his sons, Lalit Prasad. And he describes in that autobiography that this place, Jagannath Puri, it is Vaikuntha. What more can I say? There's so much to say about the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's certainly appropriate to do so when we're at his Bhakti Kuti. But the the inspiration for Bhaktivinoda Thakur was for choosing this as his place of bhajan was Haridas Thakur. We'll spend some time discussing the life of Haridas Thakur, and there are volumes to say about the life of Haridas Thakur as well. When we were visiting in Sridhar Mayapur, we heard in Antardweep, the central island of the 9 islands of Navadweep, that Lord Brahma, after the stealing of the calves and the cowherd boys, and then coming back and seeing the calves and the cowherd boys, and going back to the cave and seeing the calves and the cowherd boys, and going back to the side of the Jamuna. Instead of seeing the calves and the cowherd boys, he saw same number of forms of Narayan, each of them being surrounded by all the devas and the personified Vedas glorifying them. Then all of a sudden he saw nothing but Krishna with his yogurt and fruit in his left hand, looking at Lord Brahma with unblinking eyes. And he understood. This is the personality of Godhead. And he offered wonderful prayers. But Krishna said nothing. Because in his mind, our acharyas describe, Krishna was wishing, will Brahma hurry up and finish his prayers? I want to go back with the cowherd boys and have lunch. So since Krishna spoke nothing, although Brahma could understand the Supreme Lord is all merciful, still his heart was very heavy. He's feeling, what a great offense I've made. And so he went to Antardweep, knowing he's the knower of the Vedas. He knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would make his appearance in Navadweep in the next yuga, and he would be the most merciful. So he went to Antardweep, and as he has great capacity to do so, he underwent austerities and chanting the Lord's holy name. Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. And after feeling ecstasy from chanting the name of Gauranga, Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared. Beautiful form, long, golden limbs with arms reaching down to his knees. Beautiful lotus eyes and golden complexion, smiling very happily at Lord Brahma. Gauranga Mahaprabhu informed Lord Brahma, you have pleased me very much. Therefore, I have come to show you my form as Sri Krishna Chaitanya. That form that will appear the same as Krishna in the age of Kali to deliver to all the fallen souls pure love of God. Lord Brahma, you will take part in my pastimes with me. With folded palms, Brahma prayed, my dear Lord, you are most merciful. However, my tendency for pride is so great that if I take part in your pastimes, I may once again become proud. Please uproot this tendency for pride from my heart. Please allow me to take part in your pastimes, not with all opulence and knowledge and high birth. Let me take part in your pastimes in a very simple position. Mahaprabhu said, so it shall be. You will take birth as Haridas Thakur. So when we're hearing the pastimes and wonderful activities of Haridas Thakur, please bear in mind, he's none other than the original preceptor of our Sampradaya. Like I mentioned, the barber asked, what Sampradaya are you from? Your own? Brahma Sampradaya. This is Haridas Thakur. The conclusion of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the message of pure devotional service. In Vrindavan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Bhagwat, his characterization of Haridas Thakur is that he is pure devotional service personified. That's quite a compliment. Pure devotional service personified. To achieve pure devotional service, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us this wonderful third verse of Shikshastakam, which we all know. Trinnadapi suni chena, tororapi sahishnana, amanina manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari, this chanting always the holy name of the Lord as the entryway into the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes possible when there's a taste for the holy name. Not just duty. Duty, yes, but not just duty. When there's a genuine taste, a genuine attraction for the holy name. So these other prerequisite qualities, humility, tolerance, pridelessness, and respectfulness, were perfectly exhibited by Haridas Thakur. What he described to the king discloses how it was that even from childhood, born in a Muslim family, in Bordhan in Bangladesh, Haridas Thakur had an attraction for Krishna. Not only an attraction for Krishna, he took up the chanting of Krishna's holy name incessantly, such an attraction. After some time in his youth, he moved to Benapole. Benapole, at that time, was ruled by, under the area of a Muslim king, and there was a large landholder, powerful landholder, named Ram Chandra Khan. The first part was nice, Ram Chandra. But his attitude was one of great envy towards Haridas Thakur. So we're going to describe, I'll try to keep it, the detail is wonderful, but for sake of conserving time, I'll try to keep detail to some minimum. Each of the sequential places where Haridas Thakur went, he was subject to great torment and very unkind, vicious treatment. Tribulation after tribulation after tribulation. Very much like Prahlad Maharaj, for no good reason, only bad reason, enviousness towards the personality of Godhead. And because Haridas Thakur was dear to the Lord and held the Lord dear to him, as one is envious of the Supreme Lord, it becomes envious of such personalities. And so again and again and again, extreme tribulation. It's a very nice picture on the wall at Haridas Thakur Samadhi with the prostitute in Benapole placing all of her ornaments before Haridas Thakur and prostrating. Because Ramchandra Khan didn't like the idea that so many people in his area were respecting Haridas Thakur so much, too much. He felt, if I can get Haridas Thakur to deviate and the people will come to know that he has deviated, his influence will be diminished. How can I get him to deviate? Aha! He called all the prostitutes, the best of the prostitutes of the area, gave them the challenge. Haridas Thakur is viewed by everyone as a saint. I want the best of you to make him fall down. So amongst the prostitutes, they knew the best of them. And she was happy to take the challenge. And she said, give me 3 nights. And by the end of 3 nights, Haridas Thakur will have fallen. Ramchandra's Khan's idea was, no, we'll send constables the first night. No. And as soon as we catch him in the act, finished. So you know the story. In the dead of night, Haridas Thakur was chanting the holy names. And she dressed herself in her finest attire and fragrances and the whole program, and came before Haridas Thakur and respected him as a saintly person. She paid her obeisances before Tulsi Devi. She came before Haridas Thakur, respected him by paying obeisances. Very important. And then she poured out her heart's desire. Oh, Haridas, you're so handsome. You're such a saintly person. How could the mind of any woman be anything but attracted to you? I have but one desire. I want to have union with you. Please, Haridas, fulfill my desire. Otherwise, I don't know how I will be able to continue my life. And so forth. Haridas Thakur, without any interruption, Haridas Thakur knew her purpose. Such a personality as Haridas Thakur knows the heart of others transparently. So he spoke to the prostitute, "I will gladly fulfill your desires. However, I have a vow. I must complete a fixed number of chanting of my japa, fixed number of chanting of rounds. When I have completed," of course, when does Haridas complete? "When I have completed my chanting, then I will satisfy your desires." So she sat and heard Haridas. All night long he was chanting, and into the morning, when the sun rose, she paid her obeisances and left, reported back to Ramchandra Khan. The first night was not successful. He had to complete his chanting, but he promised me, come back again. So the second night, same thing. Third night, same thing. By the time morning came, this prostitute felt so much purified in the presence of Haridas Thakur and the pure chanting of the holy name that she disclosed everything to him. Why she had come, Ramchandra Khan's mission, her purpose, she felt terrible. Her very impure heart was then laid before Haridas Thakur, who replied, "I knew before you came what is your purpose and the disturbance that Ramchandra Khan was feeling by my being here, and therefore I had planned to leave that very day from Vainipol, but I stayed for one reason only. I stayed to deliver you." She was so moved. "Please accept me as your disciple," was her request. "How sinful my life is, you know very well. Nonetheless, I have no hope but you. By your association, now I understand the abominable condition that I've been in, the horrible offense that I was intending to make. But because of your mercy, I'm now purified of all of that. I want to leave that behind." "Very well. Go to your home. All the riches that you've accumulated, give everything away. All the fine dresses and ornaments and whatever it is that you've accumulated by this terrible profession, give it up. Keep one cloth. Shave your head. Come back here. This very residence where I have been staying, it is now your residence. You sit here by the Tulsi tree and you chant the holy names of the Lord." By accepting her, she very submissively carried out all of the instructions Haridas Thakur had given, and she became an elevated Vaishnava, just as Haridas Thakur was in Benapole, and he left. One of our ISKCON temples, that's right just on the West Bengal side, near Bangladesh, is Haridaspur, named after Haridas Thakur, place where he spent some time after this Benapole incident. When he left Benapole, he then traveled to Chandpur, where again another ordeal and tribulation was waiting him. When in Chandpur, it was very near Ramakeli. No, Chandpur is the place where Haranya and Govardhan Majumdar, the father and the uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami, resided. And Balaram Acharya, the priest of this very, very wealthy family, made the acquaintance of Haridas. And he invited Haridas, please come to our assembly. Because the Majumdar family, they're sponsors of brahminical activity and discussions on spiritual topics. They'll be very happy to have you come. So a nice arrangement was made to respect Haridas Thakur. And to have a discussion on an appropriate topic, the glories of the holy name. So one of the brahmanas in the assembly said, the holy name according to our scriptures is so powerful that simply by chanting the holy name one can achieve liberation. Another said, not just liberation, complete cessation of all actions of the modes of nature and one's past karma. And Haridas Thakur said, no. That's nothing. Limits of the glories of the holy name. Even just reflection of the holy name can achieve those things. The real gift of the chanting of the holy name is that one can achieve love of God directly, just from chanting the holy name. In the assembly was another envious brahmana, Gopal Chakravarti. Gopal Chakravarti was steaming with anger, and he couldn't control himself. He stood up in the assembly and said, how can you say like this? There are personalities that engage themselves in austerities and great sacrifices and study of the Vedas for lifetimes, and they may not see liberation. And you mean to say that any sinful person, simply by chanting the holy name, can achieve what they have difficulty achieving? How is this? Haridas Thakur said, it's true. And he gave a number of scriptural references to establish this truth. Now, Haridas Thakur was not known as a learned personality, as in he had vast, you know, at his fingertips knowledge of the conclusions of the scripture. Not that kind of Gyan Mishra Bhakta. But he had firm understanding of the conclusive truths of the scriptures by realization through the power of the chanting of the holy name. That's the kind of knowledge that Haridas Thakur had, and that's the kind of knowledge that Haridas Thakur gave. So Gopal Chakravarti, hearing, in his estimation, A Muslim man quoting scripture to a Brahmin.
Ha!
What kind of personality are you? Parading around like a saintly person giving verses to a Brahmin. I tell you, if this is not so, I will cut off your nose. In a learned assembly, a Brahmin is speaking like that. Everyone was shocked. Haridas Thakur said, if it's not true, I'll cut off my own nose. It is so. This is the power of the holy name. A big commotion in the assembly. The Majumdars were maintaining Gopal Chakravarti. They literally escorted him to the door and told him, do not return. You're no longer going to be cared for by us. Find your own other means of maintenance. This offense we cannot overlook. And Gopal Chakravarti, in short period of time, contracted leprosy, and his pointed nose and very delicate fingers all melted. He understood this was due to an offense made to a great saintly person. Later he came to understand this, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Punya, when he returned to Navadvip Dham after his sannyas, one of the persons who received forgiveness from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Gopal Chakravarti. After some time, Haridas Thakur left Puliya, left Chandpur, and went to Puliya. He went to visit first in Shantipur Advaita Acharya. Now this is before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born. And Advaita Acharya was elder and most learned and most respected Brahmana amongst all the Brahminical community. As soon as Haridas Thakur was approaching Shantipur, the residence of Advaita Acharya, he sensed the imminent arrival of a great personality. So as soon as Haridas arrived at Shantipur, he received him with all respect. Now Haridas Thakur's demeanor was that of great humility. And it's very hard for such a humble soul to be received by a Brahmana with such respect. But Haridas Thakur deserved all that respect. Later, Advaita Acharya, at the time of the Shraddha for his father, as is the Brahminical practice, after the prasad was offered, or the food is offered to Lord Vishnu, to his Shalagram Shila, the Shraddha procedure is one then offers the first of Vishnu Prasad to the most respected person in the assembly. It's just a part of the procedure. Advaita Acharya brought Haridas Thakur forward, and amongst all the Brahmanas, learned in the Vedas and qualified in so many ways, he offered the first Shraddha to Haridas Thakur. Later Haridas Thakur said, why did you do like that? You'll lose your respect in the Brahminical community. They all know the procedure. They're all learned Brahmanas. And someone who's an outcast, born in a Yavana family. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Advaita Acharya said that according to the Vedas, one who chants the holy names of the Lord, as you are doing, he's in the topmost position, do all respect. Therefore, it was fitting and proper, whether the Brahmanas understand or don't understand. The scriptural conclusion is very clear. You are the most qualified to be most honored personality amongst all personalities. I simply want to serve you. So I want to make some arrangement for some residence for you so you can stay close by and we can associate together regularly. Haridas said, I don't need any special arrangement, just some simple place. I found a nice cave by the bank of the Ganges, not far from here. That is fine for me. So he made his residence in a cave. In that cave, there also happened to be a serpent. Big serpent. Big serpent that was poisonous. So poisonous that there were fumes coming out of the cave. When people would go in the cave to get Haridas Thakur's darshan, their eyes would sting. Haridas, how could you stay in this cave? The fumes aren't too much. Haridas said, I don't feel any disturbance. But if you're disturbed, then I can go. By tomorrow, if the fumes and the serpent are still here, then I'll leave the place. I'll find some other place. I'm not attached. Some other cave will do just fine. As he spoke like that, Chaitanya Bhagavat describes huge, multicolored serpent, like a rainbow serpent, went slithering out of the cave. Knowing that super soul within the heart of the serpent, in order to not disturb the devotee Haridas, the serpent vacated. The fame of Haridas in the town of Puglia grew and grew and grew, just as it did in Dainapol. So much so that many Muslims were giving up their Muslim practice and becoming chanters of the holy name of the Lord. And the Qazi, one more envious person in the chain of envious persons, disliked that Haridas, what to speak of converting Muslims to Hindus, he himself was a Muslim and gave up his Muslim practice. He went to the king, lodged a direct complaint, you must do something. This person is very dangerous. The whole of Puglia could leave your control as they come under the sway of one who used to be a Muslim has now become this degraded Hindu. So the king decided to call Haridas for an interview. The constables came to arrest Haridas, to come before the king. Haridas made no objection because as far as Haridas was concerned, and he said this later to the king, all things happen by the will of the Supreme Lord. So if this is meant to be, so be it. So he went with the constables, and waiting for his interview with the king, Haridas was put in jail. And while he was in jail, there are many other people like him in jail, pious souls. Their only offense was they didn't follow all the rituals and practices of the Muslim government. They were too much religious in a different way. So they're put in jail. Simple way to take care of people, just put them in jail and then execute them. So they understood, that other prisoners understood, their situation was very precarious. But they had also heard of the glories of Haridas. And when Haridas was brought into the prison, ho-ho, here's an opportunity for saintly association. They went to the prison guards, please allow us to just get a glimpse of Haridas. Please, we'll behave very nicely in prison. Just let us see him, just once. So the prison guards made that arrangement. And when they were brought before Haridas, he smiled very knowingly and said to them, I would like to offer you a very wonderful benediction. May you stay just as you are. Wow, he is a saintly person. Why is he saying like this? Stay just as we are. We're in jail. We're in great danger. We're very unhappy. Why is he speaking like this? They were thinking, but they didn't say. But Haridas could see from their face what their mind was thinking. He said, no, no, no. You've not understood. What I didn't mean is that you stay forever in jail. What I mean is the consciousness that you now have. May you stay in that consciousness always. Because that's the true identity, the particular consciousness that you have, not the circumstance you're in. That's your true identity. And what is your consciousness? You're sense-controlled. It may be circumstantial, but you're sense-controlled. And you're, from your hearts, you're eagerly calling out for the shelter of the Supreme Lord. And when given the opportunity for saintly association, you're very enthusiastic for saintly association. In this world, people are so busy with their mundane affairs. Opportunity for saintly association, they're too busy. You're very enthusiastic for saintly association. This is very good. Therefore, I say, may you always stay like this. Please understand, within three or four days, you will all be released from prison. And when you're released from prison, may you stay in this consciousness. That is my benediction. And he smiled, and they were very happy. Then it was time to go see the king. Haridas Thakur was not only in name a saint, he was a saint. And the king was a pious king. So in the presence of Haridas Thakur, he understood. He's an extraordinary personality. And so when Haridas came in, he addressed him very respectfully. He said, my dear Haridas, could you explain why you've been born this high birth in a Muslim family and you've completely given up your Muslim way of life and you've embraced another religion? Why? Listen to Haridas Thakur's philosophy. Very right to the point. Haridas Thakur said, my dear king, there is one supreme God. He is the same God that is worshipped by all religions. And that one supreme God is situated within the heart of every living being. And according to the indications coming from that Supreme Lord who is situated in the heart, one person behaves like a king and sits on a throne and makes decisions about people's lives. Another person chants the holy name of God according to the inspiration of the Supreme Lord from within. Because I am so inspired by the Supreme Lord, I chant the holy name of Krishna. What is the difficulty? The king said, but you had your way of life before. Haridas, the Qazi is seated right here. And he sees you as a threat to the kingdom. Haridas, why don't you just chant the prayers of the Muslims and do our rituals? And then no harm will come to you. Why don't you do like that? Haridas Thakur said, My dear King, consider. Supposing there's a Hindu that becomes a Muslim. Whatever you feel is the punishment for a Hindu who becomes a Muslim, give me that punishment. And if you decide the fit punishment is that I should be killed, I declare to you that you could cut my body into a million little pieces because the Supreme Lord is still inspiring me to chant the holy name. I cannot give up the chanting of the holy name for anything. The king didn't know what to do. He turned to the Qazi. What should we do? Kill him! Punish him! If he remains, your kingdom will be destroyed. This bad person will turn all others into bad persons too. At once, put him to death. That's the appropriate punishment for this kind of a person. So, the king pronounced the punishment that Haridas should be beaten, as was the practice at the time, in all the marketplaces of Puglia. And if he survives the beatings, then we will understand that he was truly a saintly person and he'll be forgiven. Very fair judgment. So, very strong, powerful soldiers came to do the bidding of the king. And they grabbed Haridas and dragged him, tied him up, and brought him into the marketplace, and with hard sticks began beating Haridas Thakur. And beating and beating and beating and beating and beating. The people, they had respect for Haridas, and it was unbearable to see this. They were begging the guards, please stop. He's a saintly person. You'll bring ruination to the whole of Puglia. What are you doing? Stop. Other persons came to offer bribes. Take some money. Let him go. Stop beating him. Others tried to forcibly stop the guards, the soldiers. The soldiers just brushed them off and kept beating. Haridas Thakur. Marketplace after marketplace, Haridas Thakur was praying like Prahlad. He was praying from the core of his heart, my dear Lord Vishnu, these persons who are trying to do me harm, please do not consider their actions in any punishable way at all. They're simply carrying out the order of the king. In marketplace after marketplace after marketplace, the scene, brutal beating of a saint, was going on. Those of you that know how these things go in Bengal, picture that in your mind. At the end of the day, the guards were exhausted. And Haridas Thakur was simply chanting the holy names of the Lord with a smile. They were stunned. Haridas, where are you getting this power? This has never happened before, ever. No one has lived beyond the fourth or fifth marketplace. They've all died. And we're exhausted. If we go back and report to the king that you're still alive, he'll take our life. Haridas Thakur said, oh, I didn't know that my living would cause you difficulty. If that's the case, just watch. And he sat down in a trance of meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At will, he entered a state of trance and appeared to be lifeless. No signs of breathing, no signs of heartbeat, fixed. In a trance of meditation, they thought he was dead. They were greatly relieved. They went to inform the king, Haridas is dead finally. So he consulted with the Qazi. What should we do with the body? Should we bury the body? No, don't bury the body. In our religion, you bury a dead body and the soul ascends to heaven. He should not go to heaven. rather just like a dead animal. The dead animal is thrown into the Ganges. Just toss the body into the Ganges. And so the soldiers tried to pick up the body of Haridas. All the soldiers couldn't pick up his body. He was in a trance of meditation. And he was heavy as Vishnu, heavy as the Supreme Lord. Finally, he became light enough so they could lift him. They threw his body into the Ganges and his body floated down the river. And as you know, he then, by divine arrangement, regained external consciousness, came to the bank of the Ganges, stood up, and went right back to Puglia, chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare. Everyone was astounded to see Haridas Thakur had survived the beating of all these powerful soldiers. Completely fearless. Haridas Thakur went right before the king. The king was shocked. And then he could understand. He's the saint that everybody said he was. What an offense I have made. He got down from his throne. With folded hands, he pleaded with Haridas, please forgive me. Again and again, we find this statement. I had no idea who you were, really were. From this day forward, you're free to go wherever you like in Puglia and freely chant the holy name, because I now understand your saintly nature. As you like, Haridas. Haridas was then met by the brahmanas of Puglia. And their doubt was, how could somebody of such saintly character be subjected to this severe treatment? How could the Supreme Lord let that happen? How can bad things happen to good people? Haridas' reply was, it was completely fitting, because I heard the offenses spoken by Kazi and the king against the holy name. I deserved that and worse. The Lord was kind. He was not thinking, boy, I can't wait till the Supreme Lord gets them. Rather, he was thinking, please forgive them. During the Mahaprakash Leela in Srivasanga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for Haridas Thakur and told Haridas Thakur, I was in the spiritual world, in the ocean of milk, and I heard the cries of the holy name, and I could understand they were beating you. So I came with my chakra, ready to destroy them. But because of your prayer, to please not consider their bad activity, Sudarshan was powerless. I couldn't do anything. But I couldn't bear that you were being beaten so severely. So I personally took the blows upon my own body. Haridas, look! The painting is inside. In the samadhi. And in the, yes, samadhi mandir painting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showing the beatings on his back. Where the canes of the soldiers made marks in the back of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. The Supreme Lord personally absorbed those blows. A devotee understands, it's not that when difficulty comes, we don't do anything. But whatever it is that we do or don't do, the first reaction, the first devotional thought of any devotee is the Supreme Lord is my ultimate protector and shelter. One may or may not take some action. In Haridas Thakur's case, he chose to not take some action. In Maharaj Ambarish's case, he also chose to take no action. One may take some action or not take action if some challenge comes your way. But in any case, the Lord is my ultimate. He is my protector. He's my master. He's my well-wishing friend. This was the consciousness of Haridas Thakur, and this is how dear Haridas Thakur was to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One other very nice leela took place in Puglia. All this is before Haridas Thakur came here to Jagannath Puri. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri, so just one more Navadvipa leela, then we'll take a little break for translation. There's a wonderful leela of Haridas Thakur passing by a place where a snake charmer, this is in Chaitanya Bhagavat, a snake charmer had been engaged by someone, a cobra, and part of the snake charming activity is playing on a musical instrument to somehow mesmerize the snake. And the snake then raised his hoods and he started dancing, making movements to the movements of the snake charmer's music. And then the snake charmer was reciting verses from Srimad Bhagavatam describing the Kaliya Dhamana Leela. And as he was speaking, chanting those verses, Haridas Thakur passed by and he heard the verses. So he came in to the courtyard and was listening. And as he was listening, he became ecstatic in devotion. And spontaneously, he started dancing in the mood of Krishna dancing on the hoods of the Kaliya serpent and dancing and dancing and dancing. And he was in such ecstasy, he fell to the ground unconscious. The snake charmer recognized Haridas Thakur as a great saintly person, and he was praising to all the people. There was quite an audience assembled watching all this snake charming business go on, praising the qualities of Haridas Thakur. Meanwhile, in the crowd was one Brahmin, thinking on the material, on a low material platform, what's this? A low class person, Muslim born person, is getting so much praise and honor. Why? Because he fell to the ground and fainted? I can do that too. So when the snake charmer resumed, he came in and and fell to the ground. And the snake charmer picked up a stick and began beating the Brahmin. Pow, 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 pow. And the Brahmin got up and looked at the snake charmer and ran. And everybody said, what happened? You were praising Haridas Thakur and now you're beating a Brahmin. It's offensive to beat a Brahmin. Why did you do like that? He's not a Brahmin. He's a pretender. Haridas Thakur is a genuine, saintly personality. When Haridas Thakur was beaten by the soldiers in 22 marketplaces, he didn't get up and run for his life like this so-called Brahmin. He simply depended upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the qualification of Haridas Thakur. His ecstasy was genuine. This man, just a foolish pretender, get out. In our appreciation of Haridas Thakur, we should also not in any way try to imitate the great personality, Haridas Thakur. But we should become very inspired, not just by the number of rounds that he chanted, but the pure devotion, the genuine quality of humility upon which one can get a real taste for the holy name. the genuine quality of compassion. A truly humble person, as Haridas Thakur, had compassion for a serpent. He had compassion for his tormentors. He had compassion for Ramchandra Khan. Although Lord Nityananda, he later went to that same village in Benapol during his travels in preaching Krishna consciousness on behalf of Mahaprabhu. He visited the same town where Haridas Thakur was tormented. He sat on the Durga Mandap of Ramchandra Khan with all of his Mahabhagavata devotees surrounding him. Ramchandra Khan came out and said, "This courtyard is not big enough for all of you. We've made some other arrangements in a cow shed. You can go there now." And understanding the mind of Ramchandra Khan, Lord Nityananda spoke some words of anger, transcendental anger. "We would not want to stay in the presence of someone like you," something to that effect, and he left. And Ramchandra Khan then brought in the brahmanas to dig up the place, the soil where he had placed his foot, and put cow dung to purify where Lord Nityananda had sat and put his footsteps. Within a couple of weeks, the whole village was destroyed with a disease, a pestilence. And everyone vacated, those that survived. And our acharyas describe that those who make offenses to a Vaishnav are subject to these kinds of reactions. It's not just the individual who makes the offense, but the persons in all of that assembly receive the bad reactions of those that make serious offenses. And likewise, the other way, those who become spiritually dear to the Lord, all of those whom they associate with receive spiritual benefit. And that was the case of Haridas Thakur. Wherever he went, his wish was simply to give spiritual benefit to those with whom he associated. Compassion, humility, pridelessness, tolerance. Again, in the words of Vrindavan Das Thakur, pure devotional service personified. There were three characteristics that Haridas Thakur exhibited in a very prominent way: complete attachment to the holy name. He was very dedicated to rendering humble service to the Vaishnavas, and he had compassion for all living beings. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and left Navadvip, Haridas Thakur, like the other associates who were completely attached to his association, were devastated. And he was among the first group of devotees that came here to Jagannath Puri after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's South Indian tour, and we'll describe that in just a moment. Hare Krishna.